You're listening to Love and War with David Harwood. This is a weekly podcast where David offers spiritual insights that are aimed to enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you are edified by what you hear, please recommend this podcast to people you love. Now, here's David.
I'm starting to talk about leadership. Let's start with an introduction. And we'll call the introduction Our Foundation. Every leader is called to follow the example of Jesus and his apostles. We are called to abide in the love of God. The Son of God knew his Father's delight. Here are a couple of scriptures from Matthew. Matthew 3, verses 16 through 17. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him, and behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And in Matthew 17, verse 5, speaking of a similar situation, only now, not down by a river, but up on a mountain at the Transfiguration, it is written, "A bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" Now, the Father testified of his love for the Son, and Jesus knew his Father loved him. In John 5:20, we read, "For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel." The Son says, "The Father loves me, he's showing me all things that he's doing, and the Father is going to show me even greater works than what it is I have already done." That's amazing. The very least that we can walk away with from that verse is that Jesus knew his Father loved him. Concerning someone who walked like Jesus walked, let's take a look at the Apostle Paul. Paul knew that Jesus loved him. Paul wrote, "I have been crucified with the Messiah, and it is no longer I who live, but the Messiah lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." So in Galatians 2:20, Paul is testifying of Jesus' love in the same way Jesus testified of his Father's love. John 5, verse 20, Jesus says of himself, "For the Father loves the Son." Galatians 2:20, Paul says, "Jesus loves me. He loved me and gave himself up for me." The Apostle John knew the love of Jesus. In John 21, verse 7a, it says, "The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.'" John, who referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved, had insight into who the mysterious person was on the beach. John recognized him. Love recognizes the Lord. Leadership needs to know, one, that they are loved by Jesus, and then, out of that love, out of the knowledge of that love, be able to recognize the Lord. And by the way, Jesus wants each of us to know his love also. John 15, verse 9, "Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love." Abide in my love, well, that could also be translated, live in my love, or reside in my love. Make your dwelling place to be my love. Jesus really wants us to live right there, living in the knowledge of, living in the experience of Jesus' love. So far, we've looked at this. The Son of God knew his Father's delight. Jesus knew his Father loved him. Paul knew that Jesus loved him. And John knew it. And Jesus wants us to know it too. The inner anxieties and compulsions having to do with self-worth, a desire to be noticed, self-promotion, are deadly to true leadership. James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16 reads like this: "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. If a person is to be leading, they need to be free from bitter jealousy and selfish ambition." One of the things that happens when a person is bitter, jealous, and selfishly ambitious, and if they take a look at it and they can't handle it, they deny it. They are arrogant and lie against the truth. Bitter jealousy and selfish ambition do produce wisdom. It produces a type of wisdom that helps people to fulfill their ambitions. But it's earthly. It's natural. It's demonic. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there ends up being disorder and every evil thing. And that is the case whether or not a person is doing things which are disorderly or even are evil, because when a person is acting and the root of their action is jealousy and selfish ambition, they are sowing seeds for disorder and every evil thing. One cannot serve God and be motivated by jealousy or selfish ambition. So, again, the inner anxieties and compulsions, which have to do with self-worth, a desire to be noticed, or self-promotion, all of this, these things are deadly to true leadership. Knowing God's love cleanses our hearts. It is the Messiah's husband-like love that cleanses his wife. Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27. "Husbands, love your wives, just as the Messiah also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." The Lord reveals himself to his people. He reveals his love to his people. And then it's written that out of that love, he sanctifies her and cleanses her through the washing of water with the word. Knowing God's love cleanses our hearts. The Lord cleanses our hearts through the word. It's like the love of a husband for his wife. And this cleansing is good, because our motives shall be judged in the great day. Proverbs 16, verse 2 says, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives." And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul warned his friends, "Therefore do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God." Don't you think that this cleansing from the Lord is good? Our motives will be judged in that great day. And if we are functioning as leaders out of unmet emotional and social needs, inner anxieties, compulsions that have to do with self-worth, a desire to be noticed, self-promotion, if we are functioning out of that, well, our motives are going to end up being judged. We have to turn away from that which produces bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Now, my goal in presenting these little podcasts is to bring each leader to embrace the same type of inner life that Jesus had. I want this for myself. I want this for all of us. The Messiah knew he was called. He knew his origin, authority, and destiny. We need to know that we have been called. We need to know from whence our calling came, what our authority is within the framework of our spheres, and our destiny. Jesus had that. We are to walk like Jesus. Let's look at John 13, verses 1 through 4. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. There, we see that Jesus knew that he was called, he knew his origin, he knew his authority, and he knew his destiny. And we need to know this too. And knowing this has to do, first of all, with understanding that we are loved by God and we are abiding in the love of Jesus. Just like Jesus understood this about his relationship with Father, so we are to know that the Messiah has called us, that we have been born from above. We are to know our authority as God's children. We are to believe in the reality of our eternal destiny. Jesus' love is to be the stability of our lives. We are called to lead out of the foundation of knowing we are loved. Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 19. This is very important that we would have this working in our lives if we are either in leadership or aspiring to lead. And if you are aspiring to serve, if it is your ambition to serve in the body of the Messiah, you need to know the love of God. You need to pursue God for the knowledge of his love. All right, I'll read Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 19. Paul prayed that the Messiah would dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of the Messiah which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Extraordinary prayer for an extraordinary ongoing experience that will produce extraordinary results. We are called to lead out of the foundation of knowing we are loved. Again, the Son of God knew his Father's delight. Jesus said that he knew the Father loved him. Jesus' disciples, both John and Paul, knew the love of Jesus. Jesus wants us to know his love also. Knowing the love of God, knowing the love of Jesus, will deal with our inner motivations and cause us, in receiving the love of Jesus, to be cleansed in the deepest part of our hearts concerning things like motivation. We will know our calling, our origin, our authority, and destiny, and we can pursue God for the knowledge of his love. We can pray that prayer found in Ephesians chapter 3, in faith, God will answer it. We never serve to get his love. We don't put the cart before the horse. We're not trying to earn the love of Jesus. All the conditions necessary for God to love you have already been fulfilled. And this love, it was demonstrated at the cross. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, the Messiah died for us. Israel's great command was given after the Lord redeemed Israel from Egypt. Remember, it's written in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 39, that Jesus, answering this question, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" His answer, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." These commandments were given after the Lord redeemed Israel from Egypt. It was not something that Israel did in order to warrant redemption. God loved the Jewish people and redeemed them and then told them, "Now this is how you need to respond to what it is that I've done." Our love for God is the result of His love for us. Our love for others is the result of His love for us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it's a simple verse. We love because He first loved us. We love because He first loved us. This includes our love for God and our love for others. 1 John 4, verses 19 through 21, beginning with that verse, we love because He first loved us. If someone says, "I love God and hates his brother," he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from Him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. The more we are exposed to His holiness and see ourselves in the light of God's purity, the more we appreciate His mercy. Luke chapter 7, verse 47, the Lord said, "For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." Leaders, we need to know the love of God in order that there might be a response of love towards the Lord. We need to be in touch with the Lord's holiness and see ourselves in the light of God's purity to be able to appreciate mercy to the degree that we will love with a great love. It is out of the deeply rooted reality of God's special and unique love for you that the following meditations that I will be sharing in these podcasts are offered. And I want to mention that the anointing of God will help you to abide in the love of Jesus, and the anointing that comes through abiding in the love of Jesus will empower you and strengthen you to serve God within your sphere, to be faithful in little, and then to receive more. 1 John chapter 2, verses 27 and 28, "As for you, the anointing which you receive from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. Now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming."
Love and War is written and presented by David Harwood. Editing is by David and Sam Iovino, who is also the producer and technical advisor for the podcast. David is the pastor of Restoration Fellowship in Glen Cove, New York, and the author of the books God's True Love and For the Sake of the Fathers. To purchase copies of David's books, please go to loveofgodproject.org. The theme song for this podcast is Skirmish, from the album Combustion, which was written and performed by Leonard Jones. Additional episodes of Love and War can be downloaded on the Podbean app or through iTunes. For more information on Love and War, Restoration Fellowship, God's True Love, or For the Sake of the Fathers, visit us on restorationfellowshipny.com, loveofgodproject.org, book.forthesakeofthefathers.com, or you can follow us on Facebook at Restoration Fellowship NY, Love of God Project, Love and War DH, and For the Sake of the Fathers. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email David at loveandwar_dh@yahoo.com. As always, please remember to share Love and War and support us by leaving a positive review on iTunes and Podbean.